Well, when we knew we were going to be somewhere else on September 1st, we knew it months ago. We tried to figure out where to go. We knew we wanted to be, if it's all possible, you know, right here. And part of the reason is we thought just even being here on 23rd would be helpful. Not that 23rd is a mystical or magical place, but it's a place where the story began. And it's a place that we feel like is significant to us. And it's the reason we have that little house in this location. And I want to give you just a brief story, if I can. And then I'm going to read some cool stories today from some people here in our church. But I feel like I share bits and pieces of the story. And some of you have been around long enough, you could tell the story yourself. But some of you have, you know, you haven't got the full story. And I can't today, we don't have the time for me to really tell you the full story. But the reason I say 23rd Street's significant is whenever we first felt a call to plant a church, the natural question is where after that? Because once you finally say yes, it's then like, well, where are we going to do it? What are we going to do? And we knew Oklahoma City was pretty quickly where we were going to be. And the quick story of it is me and my wife wrote seven places in Oklahoma City down on a piece of paper. We started driving them, praying them, going through them, and just going up and down the streets and just saying, is this where we fit? And the question for us was not so much like, who needs Jesus the most? Because I feel like that's kind of everywhere, you know what I mean? And so it was more the question of where do we feel like our passions, who we are as people, where do we feel like we could live, raise our kids, but also we feel like we can see a missional type of opportunity in the sense of we feel like we fit in this place and God has called us to this place. And when we drove down this street, we had just immediately just lots of different images in our mind and visions of what could be. And one of the words that really, through Christy, God gave us was the word restoration, and that we would be a part of seeing the city as it is, as you can see renewal peeking through already. But there's a lot more abandoned than renewed buildings on the street still. And so it's not just about business renewal, but it's about spiritual renewal. This was a rich part of our city's history. And although I know the businesses are going to come in and they're going to renew the city with cool little restaurants, which is great, and I love it. But there's also something needed that a lot of people that are in the business end say we don't want, and that is a church. Just down the street here, just having a conversation this week with people that I felt like we were building relationship with in good ways, that it was once again like, oh, God bless you. But not here. This is not where we really want a church, because it may detract from what we're trying to do. And so we have that reality, which I embrace, and I feel like makes it more purposeful. Now, does it mean we're going to sit on 23rd someday with a big church building? I have no idea what it means, okay? I'm telling you where the story begins. I don't know where it's going to be in the next days ahead. I don't know what chapter will turn the direction for us, and we may end up on a different street, and we may end up with even a different group or vision. But I can tell you where the story began, and the story begins here. And the story begins here because we could see the need, and we could also see the darkness fighting against the need and still fights against it today. And some of you, you drive up and down the street, and you feel darkness all the time. Some of you drive up and down the street, and you're like, oh, this is like the coolest place to be. Doesn't really matter what you feel when you come up and down. I think what I want us to kind of be reminded of today is that even when we read the book of Jonah, the whole part of this, it isn't about a place. It isn't about a type of church that we're trying to be. It isn't about a lot of peripheral things. It's about one simple thing when it really boils down to it. It's about a group of people agreeing together that we are going to try and be the church the best way we know how. And if that's out in some rural town, and that's where God called us, that's great. I have a friend who is doing that in a rural town, and it's a beautiful picture. He says, God's called me to reach farmers. I'm like, go for it, man. That's awesome. God's called us to this. And we want to do whatever we can to be the church the best way we know how, which means a lot of things. I know that's a very broad umbrella. But again, we don't have the time to probably unpack that. And I could continue to go on the story of the church, but I really think the story of people within the church is where I really want to spend the rest of our time today. Because I think what's happening in the hearts of people is really like the proof in the pudding. And, you know, some of you remember this because you were there. Some of you don't. But one of our first gatherings at the Civic Center, I asked everybody a question. I said, if you were going to rate your relationship with Christ on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being phenomenal, 1 being, you know, you stink, you're about to kill yourself because your plant died, right? I asked you to rank yourself, right? And I said, close your eyes and rank yourself and get a number in your head. And everybody did it, you know. And I said, you got a number? And he says, yeah. And I said, forget it. I don't care about the number. And I'm reminding us of this moment because, and for those that weren't there, I want you to hear it. I don't care, and I don't necessarily think that you shouldn't care, but it's not about what you think you are in Christ. It's not about if you think you're a 10 or a 5 or 3, because we're all going to say, oh, we're probably a 5 or 6, right? And we're going to say that, right? It doesn't matter. And here's really what it's about. Tell me a story. I don't care if you say you're a 10 or say you're a 3 or say you're a 5. Tell me a story. And you're like, what do you mean? Tell me a story about Jesus doing something in your heart. Tell me a story about Jesus using you to do something in somebody else's heart. Tell me a story about where you had the courage to go out and do something for the kingdom. Tell me a story. And we agreed that day, at least I think so, because nobody came up and said they didn't agree, that day that we are about stories. Not about numbers. We're not about numbers in our head. We're not about butts in the seat. We're not about all those things, although they matter. That's not what we're mostly about. We're about stories of life change. That's how we measure our obedience to Christ. Because if we can't produce a story, somebody comes up to me and says, hey, what's going on in your church? And I'm like, well, you know, we're doing good, you know. Things are going awesome. Well, tell me a story, right? If I can't say, you know what, God's doing some cool work and here's what it is, what are we doing? If somebody asks you, what's Jesus doing in your life and you can't say, well, he's doing this, well, then what are you doing? And so that's where we come back to story. And I want to kind of share some, but before I do get into some stories of some of you, I wanted to kind of, I guess, there's actually, like I said, I want to talk about people, if I can. And there's a few people specifically that I wanted to kind of remind myself and all of us of their story. And when we began telling people about the church last year, about at least that we were going to be doing something, there were some people that came up to us and said some pretty amazing things. And there's 5 statements, actually, that I'm going to replay to you that I either heard or Christy and I heard whenever we first told somebody about this church. And so I thought I'd share those. And so you can imagine Christy and I kind of pour our guts out a little bit about this. And these are the first response. This is the first response. I like the first response. Is that okay? So imagine, blah, 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 church. Mr. Ryan Moore back there, who plays drums, he says, when do we start? That's a pretty good first reply. I'm on the phone, routine phone call with a guy from South Dakota named Jamie Stolpe. Out of the blue, after I told him about him and Carrie, Christy and I spent some time with him, told him about the church, he says, is it okay if Carrie and I pray about moving our family from South Dakota to Oklahoma City to be a part of this thing? His whole family, right? So that's him, Carrie, Micah, and Tim. Sitting in an office telling Courtney Whittier that we're going to be doing this. She says, I know I should probably pray about this. but I'm thinking I'm supposed to do this. So we prayed for another month, and she was right. Jessica Cox, I'm sure some of you are ready to hear this one. Okay, I'm going to do it. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. Okay, I'm going to do it. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is crazy. I can't believe I'm going to do it. Said by Jessica Cox. No joke. She's our kids director over there, yeah. And then sitting over coffee with Stephen Thorne. Hey, I think Jenny and I are going to come to your church. To which I replied, well, if you're going to come to our church, you're going to lead worship, right? To which he said, well, I would like to, but I didn't want to just say that. Okay. Thank you. These five stories obviously are related to the five other people / families that have, like, not just said, raised their hands, said I'm a part of this, but said, you know, we're going to arrange our life around this. We're going to change our jobs. We're gonna figure life out from a financial end, and we're going to do this for free, basically. And they're the team, if you will, that has joined me, and I don't ever want to forget their story and how God has stirred not only Christy and I, but stirred some other people in a pretty profound way. And one of the things that Christy and I prayed about in the beginning was we don't want to just go on a massive recruiting trail, right? We said, we're going to pray that God would stir people's hearts. And that's all we said. We just always said that. I said that to people, hey, now, did we tell people about our church? Sure, did we? But we didn't recruit. We just prayed, God, stir people's hearts. And I can look around the room and I can see people that said, the conversation that we had with them was, I just felt like God told me I was supposed to be here. Or I just feel like God led us to this place. And there was, and that's just the continual story that I feel like is unfolding. Well, let me move on from that, and I want to read a couple stories today, share some stories of some people here in our church, and lack of a better way to do it, I'll just kind of say who the story is, and then I'll read it. So, is that okay? Yeah? I like reading stories, so here we go. This is from a good friend, Christopher Boyd. Story he sent me a few weeks ago. He said, change is never easy, but from the beginning, my family knew that this church was something we knew we needed to be a part of. The heart of this startup church originally sparked something in me because it was a reconnection to the city that I grew up in and around. I originally thought of it as a mission field that I would drive into as events were planned, a friendly hello to new people on Sundays, and the opportunity to serve through whatever I might be asked to do. But then something different happened, or maybe I should say additionally happened. This change in the church building that I went to created questions from my coworkers, customers, and friends. The dialogue that has followed and continues has opened up doors to explain this idea of the church, the big C church, and that God is not pocket-sized, but that he is so big that our minds cannot even comprehend how much he loves and cares for us. So many healthy, amazing conversations have occurred about the reconnection to God, becoming better husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, and Christ followers. I've even received several requests for prayer from coworkers that were struggling with family issues, deaths, and marital problems. This is new territory for me in the corporate world. It's so interesting that God opened my heart to being a part of OKC community to see this part of the city changed, but then additionally opened up opportunities with those people right in front of me. It's easy to say that we as Christians are supposed to reflect Christ in all we do. However, our culture really only expects that to happen in the convenient hours of a Sunday morning. The challenge for me is to remember that the book of Acts is continually being written each day, meaning the story of the church. We will be a blank page, or will it be a blank page today, a few lines, or a sought-out opportunity to have something meaningful written that furthers the message of Christ? Then he says, God, as imperfect as I am, give me and your church the opportunities to do something meaningful each day for you. Because I kind of want to celebrate stories, I'm going to say the last line again, and then we're just going to clap. How about that? Because we got to, like, get out of, like, yeah, this is good stuff. God, as imperfect as I am, give me your church. Give me and your church the opportunities to do something meaningful each day for you. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that, man. Another story from another big deal, right? Jared and Brianna Magnuson, who also moved here from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Here's the story. 1 year ago, Oklahoma City was a pit stop for my family on our two-day trip to visit my grandma and grandpa in Texas. Little did I know that God had much bigger plans for my family and this great city. In 2012, Brandon and I knew change was about to take place. We were not sure what would change. We were not sure what that change would end up being, but God was calling us to deeper ministry, a call to defend the weak. We spent a lot of 2012 searching and discovering what this would mean for our family. What do we mean when we say defend the weak? We would call it doing what Jesus did, Matthew 25, 35 and 36. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Every time we would read that scripture, we saw God having a stance and a heart for defending and upholding the weak and the poor. Many questioned why we needed to move to live out this new calling. Brianna and I understood their thinking because we once thought the same way. It wasn't as easy as just changing behavior and focus for the weak. God was clearly calling us to change in scenery, calling us to a city. Visits to San Francisco, Chicago, Omaha, San Diego, and Phoenix really birthed the desire and a passion for living in a larger city. There's something about buildings, bricks, and concrete that really set our hearts on fire. We believe cities are important to God because people matter to God. That's a very good statement, by the way, theologically deep. This is the question that God spoke to us that changed us forever, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-informed maturity in you. That was from Romans. Brianna and I had recently built a house in a desired neighborhood. We had both had what seemingly to be dream jobs, financial security, great parks, great schools, and they didn't satisfy. We felt like we were secretly pursuing prosperity when Jesus was calling us to something else. Our lives were looking too much like our surroundings, our neighborhood. We needed to place our life before Jesus as an offering. On May 17th of last year, Jamie Stolpe and I were headed to be a part of a baptism of a kid in a youth ministry that we had been serving in for the past 7 years. On the ride to the baptism, Jamie shared with me his family was considering being a part of a church plant. It honestly came as a surprise to me because we had been so neck deep in youth ministry, I thought we may be doing ministry in Sioux Falls for the rest of our lives. But on that day, he shared with me the Mannons' desire to plant this church, a church that had a missional backbone and was gospel-centered. Jamie continued to share with me about the things that had been on their heart and why it may be necessary to leave and follow what God was calling them to do. We talked for over an hour that day, and before we ended that conversation, I told him that my family would probably come and be a part if they decided to move. We had many other conversations in the next couple months, and after the Stolpes decided they were going to come, showed us pictures of the area, and we saw the diversity and the need. We were also compelled at the thought of a church being planted so close to downtown and to this thriving area of town. Almost done. We're about to clap. This church is so vital to who we are as believers. After being stirred to move to be a part of OKC community, it was absolutely clear my family needed to be a part. Tim shared his heart to be a church for the city. He shared the desire not to only to preach the gospel, but to live the gospel. And he used words like restoration, discipleship, and love to describe what is not only at the forefront of God's plan and desire for this church, but all of humanity. He allowed us, when we got here, to soak in the culture, to get to know the people, and to really fall in love with the place of OKC, a place we now call home. We are grateful God blessed us with a new church family that is committed to loving others by living the gospel. We desire to live out our calling to defend the weak. Thanks, God. We might just go a couple minutes over, just so you know. We're almost done, but I want to, I want to invite one other guy to come up here, and we're going to do a story kind of together. So, Mike, if you want to come. This is Mike King. Mike King, yeah. Now, Mike and I go way back. We go back to, 13 years, something like that. 16? Okay.
Well, I'll go back to Christy, 16.
Oh, yeah, Christy, yeah. He knew my wife first. Cool. That's cool, man. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to share a little bit of what's going on in Mike's story. And Mike, I'll just let you kind of introduce yourself, your family, and maybe kind of a snapshot of your spiritual kind of journey, if you will, over the last few years.
My wife is Carrie. We just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. Last weekend, that's why we were here.
I just celebrated my 35th birthday.
I know. Yeah. Wes is my middle son. He's over here. And his wife, Gina. And I have an older son named Dustin. And I have a younger son named Connor. And my boys have pretty much grown up in church. I got saved when I was 26. And we brought them up in church. And we've served. Carrie and I have served and ministered to a lot of people. Probably over the last 25 years or whatever. And Connor moved out, and we've kind of been in a holding pattern for a while.
When did Connor move out?
3 years ago.
3 years ago, okay. So when I called early on, just so you know, I mean, there's a few families that I felt like I needed help get stirred, and this was one of them, meaning I just called them because I wanted them to know what was going on, and we had such a good history, and Wes, for instance, I was his small group leader from sixth grade up through 12th grade, and so we go way back, and so I called you guys and said, hey, here's what's going on, and basically said, hey, you know, would you ever consider coming over type deal, and tell us kind of what went through your mind in those days when I was talking about that originally back in November or so.
Well, Carrie and I, when Connor moved out, Carrie and I just kind of, we went to a bigger church. We didn't know anyone there, and we didn't have to serve there. Good singing, good preaching, but we could just blend in and not have to do anything. And my immediate reaction when Carrie told me you'd talked to her about it, I said, we can go to the meeting, but we're not going to their church.
Why?
I did not. I was so comfortable in what I was doing.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen my wife in 28 years. She'd been raising kids. And we were just kind of enjoying each other, and we didn't have to deal with anyone. And we didn't want to get involved with people.
Okay, so what changed? Because you're obviously here, so.
Well, we came to that first service, and then you took it.
Which was, you told me earlier, which was just an act of courtesy.
Oh, it was out of respect for you that we
Thank
came
you.
To that service.
See that, guys? Respect me. Just
we went to the service, really liked it. I thought it was a fluke deal, so I thought I'd give it another shot. We took some time off for a while, right? You had some small group stuff I never went to, and still haven't gone to your core gatherings, but then you had your first service after that. We went to that, and when we drove away, I told Carrie, I said, that's where God wants us to be.
So you sent me a text, and tell them what you said, because it was like one of the most, actually it was one of the most surprising,
I think my text was, hey, Tim, we're all in. God told me it's time to get off the bench and get back in the game.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Not knowing Mike's history, he's always been just a way in the game kind of guy. Their family has been, and so that was pretty cool to see. So what, since, I mean, and again, this isn't necessarily about the church, it's about what Jesus is doing in your heart. You know, that's the way I see this. And so what has been going on even in these last couple months, then, you'd say this is really what God's been doing in my life and in my heart?
You trying to make me cry?
Maybe.
Well, like Tim said, we've always been real committed. And I used to work for Witten Supply. I was cold calling on a business one day, and I knew the guy that actually answered the business. I didn't even own it, or I didn't know he worked there. And he invited me in, and we chit-chatted for a little bit. And he just asked me to tell him my story. And I shared my testimony with him. And he said, hey, I want, this was 13 years ago. He said, hey, I want you to come to work and run my business. I didn't even know what he did. And he said, don't worry about it. I said, well, why are you wanting me to run your business? He said, because I don't have your testimony, and the guys I hire were where you were at one time. And I actually got my job to share my life, my testimony with guys who need to hear about Jesus, which I did a pretty good job for about the last 8 or 9 years. And we got so big and so good at what we were doing, and I just kind of forgot the guys. And after I joined church here, God reminded me that's what I'm supposed to do, is share with my employees, because they're pretty rough guys and they need Jesus just like I did. So that's kind of why I'm here.
That's awesome. That's good to celebrate. That's awesome. You see, when we connect to story, we remember what we're doing. It isn't about numbers. It isn't about the number in your head and the number. It's about, tell me a story, right? And there's still, I still have more I want to do today. And I know you guys want to go to lunch probably, so I don't know. Just kidding. You had breakfast, that's right. Syrup will hold you over. Two things. I want to share one more story, and then I want to share this thing, and then we'll be done in like 3 or 4 minutes. We probably won't even do that last song, but keep playing. It makes a good ambiance. It does. Okay, so first, this is a reminder and an invitation. It's blank on purpose. And if you didn't get one, grab one on the way out. We want everybody to have one. This is obviously our dream as a church, right here on the cover. There's a little note inside, and then there's some line pages, and then there's some blank pages for those of you who need more creative freedom, okay? But the idea is that it's a reminder of the way we value story. That it's about stories, right? It's about, hopefully you can fill this with prayers and dreams, and you can start to see stories happening in your life. I mean, I don't know if you journal or don't, but maybe use it to say, here's some goals. I don't know how you think, right? So it's a reminder of what we value around here and the idea of story. But it's also an invitation. It's an invitation to say, maybe nobody's ever challenged you or put something out in front of you that says, you know what? You need to run after Jesus like you've never ran after him before. You need to change your life. There are people that are changing their lives around the world for Jesus, and maybe it's time for you to join that story. And so this is an invitation. It's just a journalist's paper. It doesn't mean anything, but somebody needed to put an invitation in your hand to do something in your life that's different than what you've been doing. And this is an invitation for you to do something with your life that's different than what you've been doing, and it's more about a gospel-centered life. That's what we hope this is. It's just a little thing, but it's a reminder and an invitation. And I'm going to read one story, and then, who knows, you may have to sing a song. This is from a friend named Ed, who goes here. I'd like to share some of the moments that finally led me to accept and follow Christ. In order to better understand my story, you need to know some about my past. My parents raised me and my two older brothers as Buddhists. Despite that, I briefly went to a private Christian school when I was in the first grade, which was where I first remember hearing about God. After that, I always believed in God, but I never felt compelled to understand him. When I was 12 years old, my oldest brother was tragically killed in a car accident. And during the following months of mourning, I became more involved in Buddhism and eventually went through the Buddhist version of baptism. I remember going through the motions and saying the prayers during various ceremonies, but I never really understood what any of it meant. Several years later, when I was a freshman in college, my mother passed away. Her health had never been the same following my brother's death. Over the years, she developed severe pulmonary hypertension, and eventually her lungs stopped working. I always knew the day would come when her battle would be over, but I didn't anticipate it being so soon. During the days that led to her death, she was hospitalized in the ICU of OU's medical center, and I vividly remember that week as I spent a lot of time in the ICU and in waiting rooms at the hospital. I repeatedly prayed to God for my mother to get better, but deep down inside, I knew it wasn't going to happen. I was in the ICU when the moment finally came. I sat there watching helplessly as the doctors and the nurses did all they could to revive her, but eventually we all agreed that nothing more could be done. It was at that moment that I decided that I wanted to become a doctor. Now we have to fast forward 10 years later, a few weeks ago. I recently started my third year of medical school with my surgery rotation. I went through a pretty rough transition from completing graduate school to immediately being in the hospital. The long hours and self-doubt of my medical knowledge, because it had been 4 years since I had studied medicine, made me feel very weak and helpless. Those feelings peaked when I started a new rotation in the ICU, the very same ICU that my mother had died in 10 years earlier. My emotions and memories flooded me as I remembered those events. I began to pray to God to give me strength to get me through this situation. As the days went by, my prayers began to be answered. I felt more comfortable and confident in my skills and knowledge, and my overall performance improved greatly. But I then made a sudden realization that both moved me and humbled me. I realized that not only had God answered my prayers that week, but that he had been with me all along, even 10 years ago, when I didn't even know it. It's like everything had come full circle, and I was being reminded of why I wanted to be a doctor in the first place. It was because of these events and realizations that finally convinced me to be a believer and a follower of God. Rachel and one of my friends played a big part in that decision to follow Christ through many conversations, which Rachel goes here as well. And some books that Rachel gave me, I found some answers and reasons for me to change my life. Also, talking with one of my friends who became a Christian a few years later gave me the good perspective from someone who had once been an outsider looking in. An OKC community definitely helped in my decision. The friendly and inviting environment made me feel comfortable and welcome. One of the biggest things I'm learning is that I'm not in control of my life, and that's okay. I have to have faith in Christ that things in my life happen according to his plan and will. And that that will be what is best for me. It's pretty awesome.